ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Walking on sunshine, but on a frothy Santorini surge of love and happiness, because it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
You will say,
thank God it's Friday.
Good morning, just children.
Surfing in on the Santorum surge from Philly last weekend, from Santorum country, is John Fugelsang.
Gliding home on a Santorum slick. It's really beautiful thing. Down at CPAC, down at the at the crypto-fascist provincial angry Caucasians.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes. Good morning, kids.
Good morning, John Fugelsang. And this was pre-Santorum surge that we were in Philadelphia this past Saturday for Sexy Liberal.
I feel like Bono on the roof saying, they're trying to shut us down. I mean, first we have our tour promoter. They try to bribe him $10,000 to drop the tour.
That's right.
They hack our website. They buy up tickets and they hack our Twitter. They buy up tickets and try to scalp. And now
Maps? They hack Google Maps to show our venue permanently closed in LA.
And now we have a fire alarm somehow mysteriously pulled 10 minutes before the show begins, which isn't really very good sabotage. They should have waited until halfway through someone's set to do that.
It just meant
we started 5 minutes late.
Yeah, you idiots. The Google thing.
Yeah.
Liberals smart enough to operate the MapQuest. Yeah. Even that didn't work. They're like the Wile E. Coyote of political dirty tricks.
Thanks to capitalism, there are competing map services on the internet.
Check it out.
Yeah,
indeed. Liberal capitalists.
That's right.
We have up on our Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page, John Fugelsang took some pictures of the evacuation of the Philly theater and some other photos from the Philly show. Yeah, because it was maybe a Santorum surge, actually.
This is Dinsmore Mellencamp with the National Mental Health Alert Warning System with a Santorum surge warning. A Santorum surge is now in effect alongside of a line and 100 miles either side of a line moving from Colorado to Missouri. Residents in these areas are advised to take Santorum surge precautions immediately, which include covering windows and doorways with plastic tarps and securing them with duct tape. Move children and small animals into bathtubs and shower stalls. Take any plants that might be affected by a surge in Santorum and cover with hefty bags. Align your pants to magnetic north. The National Mental Health Alert System will advise you when the threat of the Santorum surge is over.
Thank you very much, Mike and Raleigh. Hey,
wow.
We could have, we sold merch in Philly, John. We should have sold Santorum surge protectors. I think those would have, right?
I think we really don't want to use the word Santorum and evacuation in the same sentence.
No, probably not.
It was a great show, though. It was a lot of fun. Great audience. Love Philly. Beautiful room.
Rude pundit. Fabulous.
It looked like a Fabergé egg. But it was still a beautiful, beautiful space. And now we're just getting it all ready for Phoenix, which is way sold out.
I was just going to say, we're not supposed to mention it because there's like a 350-person waiting list, and the theater's like, your fans are so nice. They're just so disappointed. And anyway, so just don't mention Phoenix.
Okay. Won't even mention it.
March 3rd, Chicago. Peter in Libertyville writes, when it comes to Sexy Liberal in Chicago, it never fails. Get meet and grow tickets, and my wife once again will just be returning from a European business trip. You danced with the poor jet lag thing last go round, and Peggy's hoping for another chance at some Super Saturday on Zero Sleep. Awesome, awesome. I will be sure to grope you on Zero Sleep in Chicago. March 3rd, tickets almost gone there. And then this one I figured was about us, John.
Yes.
In Albuquerque, two men arrested over stolen burrito. Two men spent Super Bowl weekend locked up in Albuquerque jail because of a dispute over a stolen burrito. There is some word, though, that there were Sexy Liberal tickets in the burrito, and that's why there was scuffling. March 31st, those are almost gone.
It's kind of like Wonka's golden ticket. You got to fight
over. Any kind there's craven gluttony, we can't be far behind.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
Well, hello. By the way, bring me my personal comedy, Jesus. I have yet another.
We're going to be busy today.
Yeah. Kevin in Chicago, this is for the ecclesiastical MOOC.
I know what it's going to be about.
Preemptively,
too.
The smartest boy in class this morning. Hey, Steph and the MOOCs. 52 years ago, Americans were freaked out that a president would take orders from the Vatican. John Kennedy. Today, Republicans demand Americans bow to the dictates of the Vatican. We sure have come a long way, huh?
Uh-huh.
Kevin in Chicago is the smartest boy in class.
Exactly.
How about that?
And Harry the party Truman that warned us.
Harry Truman was less concerned about the Pope than he was about the pop.
Yeah. Eek, that's
well,
funny.
It's a really good point, and I really hope we talk about this a lot today, because I've been talking about this all week, and it's not just about the Vatican and about Catholics in America. It really goes to about what does the Bible actually say about birth control? Because I'm going to come out and say this right now. There is nothing that you can use to say that there's a Christian justification for banning birth control. And I hope we get some calls
That's
about it today.
That's because Jesus talks so much about homosexuality. Oh, no, he didn't talk about that either.
Ooh,
Prop 8
so
is the other big issue.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, I mean, look at this headline just to start. Catholic bishops demand all businesses be given the right to deny women contraception.
Yeah, they coverage. Have some huevos to do that.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Catholic bishops and their GOP allies have been in an uproar ever since the Obama administration announced new rules that require employers, including most religiously affiliated institutions, many of which already offer contraception.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You mean those institutions, the ones that are taxed, you mean?
To cover contraception in their health plans with no cost sharing, Republican candidates have accused Obama of waging a war against religious freedom.
Come on.
Frothy, in my favorite hyperbole yesterday, went so far as to say Obama put America on the path of beheading
right.
devout citizens.
Next guillotines for all religious
what?
People. Yeah.
And I want to hear
time
one...
Time for the second wah-wah of the first segment.
Well, we have him saying that.
Okay, take a listen.
There was another constitution written similar to the time of the American Constitution. That was over in France.
What?
France.
But that revolution, and that constitution, by the way, was similar to the American Constitution. There was a difference, though. It was a secular revolution.
Ah.
Of which we relied upon the goodness of each other. This is the blessed view of where America should go. And, of course, where did France go? To the guillotine.
Ah. Yeah.
To tyranny.
Oh,
if there are no rights that government needs to respect, then what we see with Obamacare is just the beginning of what government will do.
To beheading.
Hey, the American Revolution was a secular revolution, Pinhead.
Give this guy the nomination, please.
Wow.
Let's talk history and religion with Rick.
Yeah. This close to the guillotine.
And didn't Marie Antoinette and the guillotine come before the French Revolution?
Yes.
Isn't that like...
That's
what?
Not important now, Chris.
Okay.
The point is...
just, you know, if memory serves...
Did he get this information from Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann?
But I'm going to go even further. I'm going to say that they're not being Christian. They're being Roman. This is Vatican behavior. This has got nothing to do with Jesus or the Bible.
And
you can't use the Bible to say that birth control is wrong.
And, you know, Kathleen Madigan was here yesterday. She was saying, are we back
was
in 1950? Are we
was
back in 1950? I mean, it's like, what is going on? Really? Are we debating? You know, I thought some of the female senators made really good points yesterday that contraception is used for, it's medicine. It's used for other things, too.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many women do we know who had to go on the pill in junior high or else they'd rip your head off?
All right.
I have lots of friends who did.
Yeah. Catholic bishops want it all banned.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops made it clear they're not interested in compromise because, you know, as usual, Obama is open to compromise.
Well, he already is. They just announced they're going to do it. They're going to compromise on
According to a report in USA Today, they aren't just demanding a broader religious exemption from the new contraception coverage rule. They want contraception coverage removed from the Affordable Care Act altogether. What?
Yes, they want to take away your
birth control. Now
there's
not separation of church and state, but what they get to dictate to the... Huh? I don't want to...
And I say this as a Catholic, tax them.
Yes.
If they're going to act this way, tax them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a Catholic nation. I want to live in a nation with Catholics, but I don't want to live in a Catholic nation.
Oh,
but
well
I want
said.
A serious debate. I want a serious debate over the theological validity of their whole argument. Because when God said be fruitful and multiply, there were exactly two people on earth. There's 7 billion. Mission appears to be accomplished.
The ecclesiastical one, bringing it. Bringing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm so angry about this. Listen, this all comes from the story of Onan, which I can tell later on in the show if you like. But it's all one little story in the book of Genesis.
I like the seed spilling. Please, tell the seed spilling.
Yeah, well, let's do it later in the show. Let's do it later on in the show, but I'll tell the whole story because it's how we get... It was the spine of where the church has their rules against same-sex relationships, masturbation, and birth control, and it's got nothing to do with any of those things. It's all about control, and there is nothing in the Bible guaranteed.
Lack of control.
Exactly. So that's why I say again, if you stand up for birth control, you're the conservative on this issue, because these Christians making or making stuff up that's not in the Bible?
Couldn't this thing be put off till after the election? Why did this have to come up now?
Well, that's the Obama administration's brilliance, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're backing away on it now, and they're going to compromise. But I really think that this is a win-win for them.
Well, I think it was calculated to drive a wedge between the Santorum supporters and the Romney supporters.
Exactly. The timing is so suspicious.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, but, you know, the female vote, fairly significant. And, John, you probably heard this. 98% of Catholic women use birth control. Like,
exactly.
What niche are they going for here?
Well, that's another problem with the liberal media. I want to hear them talking to these outraged Republicans and make these Republicans say, so you don't believe that women should have access to birth control. Because they all use it. No one follows it. And the Catholic Church, by the way, doesn't push this meme in Europe all that much because it's not popular.
Right.
They don't push abortion either. There they push the death penalty, which, by the way, the Catholic Church is every bit as opposed to as they are to abortion. So Rick Santorum goes against his religion on the Iraq War. The last two popes were against it. He goes against his religion on homophobia. I mean, against Jesus, at least, because Jesus never said a thing about gay people. He goes against his religion on the death penalty, but now birth control and global warming and health care. Let's not forget, Benedict came out last year and said every nation has a moral responsibility to provide health care to their citizens regardless of their inability to pay.
Except
he goes
America.
Against his church on all these things, but now birth control, that's against his religion.
Of course, if you can get pregnant, birth control will be mandatory.
Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you. I would like to make a confession to the ecclesiastical mook, please.
Please, my child, come unto me.
Okay, the timing is because of me. I had the Obama administration do this now, and also the courts out here in California, Prop 8, just in time for Fridays with Eagles.
Indeed. A beautiful thing.
And here it is on a platter for you. I love you, Comedy Jesus.
So when are you going to ask Lisa to marry you?
18 minutes after the hour. After the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're a rock star, Stephanie. You're the best. There's better liberal, left-wing, crazy, lunatic, fringe talk than you.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. No, thank God I'm not, because I didn't worry about birth control. Oh, that, and I'm a big gay. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Yeah, better than Ezra didn't write a song called Dusty.
Thank you.
So we have to play Juicy.
Screw you. what was I going to say? Julie in Seattle on Twitter.
Yeah, she says, so if your boss is a Jehovah's Witness, your insurance won't cover blood transfusions?
That's right.
Nice.
There's a slippery slope.
Very good point there.
Yep. Brian and Charlotte on What a Genius Chris Is.
What? Hey.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning. He is absolutely a genius. I was thinking the same thing last night, and Chris is absolutely right, because the talking heads that day that Obama, that decision came down about contraceptives, everybody that was on the Chris Matthews show was like, we don't understand why he's doing this. This isn't politically smart. Nobody could figure out why Obama would step into this hornet's nest.
Because he's such a dummy.
Right, exactly. I'm just like, this guy's playing chess, and Chris is absolutely right, because Santorum beat Mitt Romney by landslides in those elections.
Yep.
And it came the day that happened. Now, I got another conspiracy snippet.
Yes.
Slip it to me.
Tell me I'm pretty first. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you're absolutely beautiful.
Okay, thank you. All right, slip
anyway,
it to me. Go ahead.
Remember when Rachel was talking? She's on this rampage against what's it called? Political fact. Politifact.
Yes.
Okay. Remember when Obama did his State of the Union, and then they everything he said about us creating jobs, they rated it half true. Well, the reason they said that it was half true is because they claim he attributed his policies to the economic uptick. Well, Rachel was saying, you know, what happened was they had to recant, and then they gave it a mostly true. Well, my thing is, if it wasn't because of his political, what he's done politically or what he's done for the economy, then what would be the reason? And I'm thinking that they're going to say the Bush tax cuts help the economy to gain.
Of course.
In the end. And this is killing me right now, because I'm thinking that that's the play that they're going to do to try to get those Bush tax cuts extended.
Mm. All right. Very good, Brian. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
How's about this?
What?
Not well, that crazy John, an idea.
John Fuse is saying, of course, teasing us with the seed spilling story.
Yes.
It's coming
Jesus,
up.
Come on. Oklahoma Democrat adds every sperm is sacred amendment to personhood bill.
I saw this.
Fantastic.
Despite being rebuffed by voters in Mississippi and Colorado, proponents of the personhood movement are still pushing to enact legislation in states like Ohio and Oklahoma that would give zygotes the same rights as American citizens. These bills would not only criminalize abortion in all circumstances, they would also outlaw common forms of contraception, as well as in vitro fertilization. To poke fun at the absurdity of it, Oklahoma State Senator Constance Johnson, Democrat, has tacked on a provision affirming, in the words of the famous Monty Python song, that every sperm is sacred. Among other things, her amendment would essentially outlaw oral sex, anal sex, and masturbation.
Wow.
Yep. Eggs, however, not that sacred.
So, I bet she's fun at a party. Yeah.
So unless you insert a sperm into a vagina, it's illegal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Wow. What's funny is that she's already pulled out of that idea.
John Fuse saying, nasty little man. All right. John already broke the news. The White House under fire, obviously. Teehee. ABC News has learned later today the White House, possibly President Obama himself, will likely announce an attempt to accommodate these religious groups. The move, based on state models, will almost certainly not satisfy bishops and other religious leaders, since it will preserve the goal of women employees having their birth control fully covered by health insurance. By the way, John, this could be, I was reading, you know, up to, it's not my area of expertise, but could cost women up to, you know, $600 a month if none of this is covered under, you know, and there's
a lot of... but iPads are expensive. Huh?
Well, but you
You're
know what?
Saying
it's
a lot
brilliant.
Of people in this economy, that's a lot of money to not be able to not have something covered.
Yeah.
But look, the GOP is already done chasing all the Latinos away. They need to chase the women away again, and the Obama administration understands this.
Right.
Now, even if they compromise, which they do, and they're Democrats, it's in the DNA, but even if they compromise on this, it's brilliant, because number one, he's a reasonable compromiser. Number two, the overwhelming majority of Americans are on his side and don't see this as religious persecution.
Including Catholics.
You know who sees this as religious persecution? The exact people who want to see it that way and nobody else.
And besides the fact that Congress looks a little bit like a...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Viagra's still covered, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. And members of Congress benefit from contraception coverage, but of course seek to limit access for women. Interestingly... members of Congress who seek to limit the availability of affordable birth control all enjoy contraceptive insurance as part of their awful government socialist health care that they enjoy.
You don't say.
Indeed.
I just got a tweet from Peter LaBarbera. He's the head of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality.
Huh? What is the truth about homosexuality?
Finally, we'll get the truth about homosexuality.
I'm sure he knows more about the truth about homosexuality.
Hello, snap.
But anyway, he says, we conservatives are always grateful when Catholics ignore the liberal PC activism of their leaders, in quotes.
Their liberal PC activist leader was Jesus.
Yes.
He's the biggest liberal activist that ever lived.
Exactly. Now, Mr. LaBarbera.
Now, you want to hear something that'll really blow your mind? When I was a younger person, I did special ed for many years. I worked both at a residential facility where developmentally disabled kids lived in-house and at a summer camp. Now, we had a co-ed facility on Long Island where I worked, and I did overnight shifts for years. I paid my way through college doing special ed. It was run by the church. Now, there was a boys' wing and a girls' wing, and I'm going to say this now. Every girl in this residential facility that was developmentally disabled was on the pill.
Wow.
And the church knew it, and the church paid for it, and the church made it happen because their worst nightmare was a boy sneaking into the girls' wing. Again, these were special ed kids and getting someone knocked up. So I'm going to say this is 15 years ago. Every single girl was on the pill, and the church paid for it. It's just done all over the place.
Ironically, and people that have listened to the show know this is true, I worked at a camp for overprivileged children.
Yes.
I am not kidding. I am coming out here.
Camp Romney?
No. People know it. Cali Camp. I don't know if it's still around. Cali Camp out here near Malibu.
In Malibu?
When I was in college.
They have camps in Malibu?
Camp Malibu.
Calabasas, Malibu, yes.
Oh, God.
Children of the Hills.
Yes. And most of them were on the pills because they were sluts. But my point is...
Damn.
I'm just saying a weird circle of 6 degrees of, you know, the pill. Okay, 29 minutes. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying. 29 minutes after the hour, right back at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think you've had too much sugar cereal.
I think I haven't had enough!
Well then,
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau. Ari Berman of The Nation, awesome new article.
Yeah.
He always highlights stuff that... that other people miss that are really, really important. So we are going to talk to Ari coming up in hour number three. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number 2-3. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. Something in your stream brings a question to me. How do you get prettier every time I see you?
Precious.
Right?
Right? All right. Okay. I love you, Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, Mama, two things. It's number one, this is a manufactured, made-up issue. I mean, he's president, for God's sake. He's not the Pope. Yeah. Let's get it and move on. I mean, it was Margaret Sanger in 1903 with Planned Parenthood. It was 1950 the Supreme Court ruled that women have the right to contraceptive. This is a ginned-up manufactured...
Right.
And the second thing is, Rick Santorum is bat crap crazy. he really is. Not only about...
And this relates to beheadings how?
The beheadings. Also, they're the thing where he's talking in front of conservatives. Things that, did you know 1 out of 10 people in Holland is euthanized every year?
I don't... Is it what?
What?
Yeah, he said that. He goes, people in Holland, old people have to have bracelets that say, please don't kill me.
Dear God. Why are Republicans obsessed with the decapitations and Jan Brewer and her headless bodies?
Because they have to rely on the truth.
It's a death cult.
Yeah, wow. You know what? I'm just saying, have they solved that severed head in the Hollywood Hills case yet? Just saying. I would look to a Republican.
Have they found the severed heads in the Arizona desert Jan Brewer keeps talking about?
No, they haven't.
There's a lot of holes in the desert.
They're not there.
John, you and I will go look when we're in Phoenix.
Some of them got baddies in them.
Jenny in Chicago. Hi, Jenny.
Hey. Two words. Sex strike.
Pardon me?
Sex strike.
Oh, Liz Estrada.
You're going all Liz Estrada on our ass.
I was just
going
to say sex dwarf, but that's a whole different thing.
Women should go on a nationwide sex strike. All the guys in here are like, what? Wait a minute. That's a suck-ass idea.
Yeah, it's...
No, what? Tell me about your idea.
It's a suck-ass idea for women, too, but... the point across.
Yeah, exactly. Although we have... There's contraptions. I'm just saying. Tell the seed spilling story, Uncle John.
Men don't need contraptions.
All right, are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is where it all comes from. Now, this is the story of Onan, and whether you've heard it or not, I guarantee at some point he has touched you. Back in the old...
Do you need Chris to take his organ out?
No, you don't need to.
Okay.
If you want to, you can.
All right.
Book of Genesis.
Whipping it out right now.
There were Irish people back then. Onan?
Okay. Book of Genesis. Old Judah has two grown sons, Onan and his older brother, Ur. And Ur was an evil man given to rank acts of wickedness. Maybe he was angry that they had gone and named him Ur. But God didn't like him. So one day, God smites Ur. Now, pay attention. This comes into play. That's how God solves his problems. That's how you know God's a man. Now, old Judah, and this is affecting us right now. Mm-hmm. Old Judah runs into Onan and says, my son, your brother didn't leave any children. God wants you to go in unto thy brother's widow and continue his bloodline. Oh, you got to follow our laws, kid. It's all about keeping the tribe's numbers up. Mm-hmm. We're prehistoric nomads. The tent's over there. Impregnate her that she might bear an heir for Ur. Mm-hmm. Now, Onan didn't feel right about this. Onan's brother's not even cold yet. He's got to go shag the widow. It's like a prehistoric white trash sitcom. My name is Ur. Mm-hmm. But he goes in and he starts doing the Lord's work. And when he realizes this is nuts, it can't be fun for the woman whose name is Tamar. They won't even be his kids. And the law makes no sense. So at the last moment, Onan spills his seed on the ground, creating the rhythm method as we know it. This infuriates God, who I guess likes to watch.
Yes.
And he invented premature ejaculation.
He did then. And God smites Onan. And this story, this charming little anecdote that doesn't make its way into too many Bible coloring books, became the church's original reason to say that any kind of non-procreative sex is against the will of God. Now, when you look at it, you see, well, obviously the sin of Onan was that he disobeyed a direct order. But no, the church said the real sin was no baby. And so because of someone getting this story wrong, the church has said that all same-sex relationships are a sin, that birth control is a sin, even if you're poor. poor, you can't be devout unless you're pumping them out, and that masturbation is a sin in the eyes of God. In fact, to this day, the clinical term for touching yourself is onanism, which he didn't even really do. Imagine having that named after you. So, essentially, this is where the whole thing comes from, because someone got the story wrong. And that's where all the seed spilling comes from. Jesus said nothing about it. And again, when God said be fruitful and multiply, there were exactly two people on earth. We seem to have accomplished it.
Right.
Here endeth the lesson.
Of course, and the little pill was totally about an earth, an earth, earth, an earth, an earth.
The only thing I got out of that whole story is, what if Tea Party leader Kathy Durr had married
Erder.
I say to the Republican leadership,
all right,
take off your leg panties.
And spill
Stop
your seat
being
on the ground.
I'm Kathy Durr.
You can't spill your seat on the ground if you're wearing lace panties.
I'm telling you, I know it's a long, silly story, but it's from reading one Bible story wrong.
Yeah.
It was probably only written to be a metaphor in the first place that gives Rick Santorum and these other guys the right to deny women contraceptive care.
Yep. All right, let's go to Cindy.
They are not the Christians.
Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, hi all. Hi. You know, I'm Catholic, and I know that the bishops are pretty inconsistent.
Yep.
You think?
Because I haven't heard if Viagra for single men or married men who want to pursue outside interests, if that's covered under their plan.
Of course.
And they frown on... You know,
of course, they don't ask those questions, because that's someone's privacy, for God's sake.
Yes,
they don't ask men those questions.
It's about right.
What you need the
Viagra
little blue pills for.
Well, doesn't really have the same medical purpose for men that it would have for women.
Kind of the opposite, actually.
That's between a man and his doctor. The government doesn't get involved in that. What's your point? You see what we did there?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Turn it around on.
See what it,
yeah.
Huh?
But you know what? It's really sad, because it's another example of how the church is marginalizing itself into extinction. And this is why a lot of sane Catholics I know are really embarrassed that eventually they're going to be part of a third world church.
And most Catholic women are on birth control.
Yes. I said that earlier. 98%, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Matthews pointed that out the other day. There are no, like, 12 kid families anymore.
Right.
If you look on the
there
page.
Are no,
what's that
no
about?
More,
is the Santorum family?
What are we getting here?
No more Bobby Kennedy with 12 kids showing up anymore. Catholics don't even follow it. So again, the only people who are saying they're persecuted are people who want to say they're persecuted. It's a fetish for these people. They're not being persecuted at all. They agree with what Obama's saying in principle. They're just putting up a fight because they have to fight about something. Because guess what? The economy, not the bleak economy we planned on running on. And this is all part of Obama's campaign. I don't know if it's David Plouffe took a break from sending us all emails to craft this, but they have in 1 week managed to shift the entire debate from the economy back to the social issue conservatives to paint Mitt Romney into a right-wing corner so he can never get independent.
And they have,
and
frankly...
just in time for the Santorum surge.
Yeah.
Right.
And they frankly have broken the number one commandment, John, and that is do not piss off Congresswoman Barbara Lee.
Yeah.
This latest ruling on women's access to reproductive health care, family planning, has been absolutely politicized in this, what I call it, ongoing war against women.
Against women, that's right. That's right. That's right. It's Barbara Lee's world. We just live in it.
Yep.
Representative Anita Lowey, a Democrat of New York.
My colleagues and I stand in solidarity with American women who have waited decades for equity in contraceptive coverage.
And now I wish we had a jingle that said, the Mary in Long Island Show.
Oh, Mary Long Island.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, guys. Oh, thank God, John.
Mary.
Thank you, John, for being John Bugle saying. Thank you so much. Listen.
Thank you for your Bugle singingness.
Yeah. I think we should get a million woman march on Washington. And I'm not kidding. Huge, huge support. Because it has to be big. You can't have like a 10,000 because, the right wing will gin up a crowd to be there.
But I'll bring my dusty, never touched by a sperm eggs. Why not?
Seriously.
I'll donate them to the cause.
God knows we tried, Steph.
Seriously, I know a lot of women would be, in this category, and I just sent the White House a tweet, believe it or not, yeah, they're on Twitter, not to cave on this. Now, of course, they probably will, but, or at least they'll make some kind of compromise, which, I don't know what it is yet, but I'm, nervous about it. I don't understand why they listen so, it's their default to listen to the noise from the right. Like, even with Senator Casey and the Vice President, John Kerry, please.
What's the point of Joe Manchin? He was like, this is not only unfair, it's un-American.
He's not a Democrat.
Oh, please.
He is. Now, if these Catholic institutions, not the church, but hospitals, universities, and so on, if they're going to be part of the American community, the American commercial community, let's say, they're going to follow the law, period, end of story. I don't want to hear about everybody can have objections. I mean, the Muslim community can have objections to something. I mean, come on, there's just so much of religious rights that we...
Let's bring up the fact that this Pope, Pope Benedict, and the previous Pope, John Paul, were both 100% opposed to the Iraq War. And I didn't hear any Catholics complaining their tax dollars going to fund an illegal, immoral war that goes against everything Christ talked about. Jesus didn't say, forgive us our trespasses as we trespass against those we think might trespass against us.
Yes, at some later point.
Yeah, well, John understands spirituality as opposed to religionists.
Yeah, well, you haven't been on the road with him, but okay. All right, Mary. Oh, John, I kid.
That's okay. No, I don't claim to be a devout pristine. I'm a heathen. I'm a sinner. I love it. I'm a sinner who hates hypocrites.
That's the whole point of the road.
I'll take an honest sinner over a pious hypocrite any day of the week.
One last one before we break. Joe in Long Beach. Hi, Joe. Welcome. Hello,
Joe. Good morning, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I got to believe that this is just a temporary issue that's going to go away real soon. I mean, Big Pharma has got to be quaking in their boots to know that a huge part of their business is about to go away if the Republicans get their way.
And by the way, a huge percentage of men, I imagine, quaking in their boots at the thought of being
absolutely correct. And look at Stephanie. I haven't heard anybody make the point that... For a lot of people, taking contraception is a medical issue.
That's right.
As we all know.
Yes, endometriosis, there's all kinds of... Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, look, exactly. When Rick Santorum's wife aborted, I mean, when she miscarried, and then later on they had another child with medical problems, I think there's a lot of people that would want to avoid those things happening, and contraception is a thing.
Yep, exactly.
And she didn't miscarry. She delivered a child.
Yeah. And by the way, we were talking about this is the in terms of the female vote. Chris, you were talking about how smart it is politically. But
yeah.
Am I right? Is it not also the male vote? Really?
Yes, it absolutely
is. Do a lot of guys want women to have no access to birth control?
Exactly. And you know what? But I mean, you know, look, this actually really affects maybe 12 people in all of America. It's a political football, and we all know it. But here's what I wish the president would say, or someone in the Democratic Party would say, if they would just say to the Catholic Church, hey, here's the deal. Since you don't pay any taxes, listen up for a second. How about you comply with the law, make it available, tell your flock to not ever use it, and see how many obey you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like I always made the joke about the early pregnancy test commercials where the guys always look so happy.
That's
please.
Great.
You're kidding. Really?
Oh, please. No one that's going to the store to get an EPT.
Yeah.
You happy. It's pink, whatever color it's supposed to be.
We didn't have those commercials where I grew up. It was like, why did you do this, Gina? You're so stupid.
Yeah.
This is your fault. This is your fault. I'm taking you on Maury. It's not mine.
46 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Bugles Thang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm crazy for this city.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Marco!
Rubio! Mm-hmm.
Government shouldn't be telling these institutions what to do, and they certainly shouldn't be oppressing them.
Huh? Oppressing? What?
Please.
By forcing them all to have birth control.
Jim, who said we're here to stand up for the women of America who deserve to have access to free preventative care through their health insurance? Who said that?
Lenny Kravitz.
No. Senator
He's
Barbara Boxer of the great state of California. Have I said it before? B-Box rocks.
B-Box rocks?
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi promised a fierce debate on women's rights if Republicans try to repeal the policy. Vice President Joe Biden, who's Catholic, as you know, said Thursday there's going to be a significant attempt to work this out, and there's time to do that. He said the one-year grace period is to make sure we do not force the Catholic Church to do something they fundamentally think is inconsistent with their religious beliefs. And so, as we said just this morning, as usual, you know, the Obama White House is trying to compromise, you know. But, you know, interesting, Jim, or, Chris, you brought up the politics of this. I'm reading the AP story. The party break over the contentious issue could reverberate in an election year with implications not only for Obama and battleground states with significant numbers of Catholic working class voters, such as Ohio and Pennsylvania. But as John was saying, who are you talking to? The 2% of Catholic women that don't use, you know. But also for Democrats in congressional races, the political upside for, you know, conservatives like Casey or Manchin is a fresh opportunity to show their independence from the president. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And the political downside is potentially pushing too far in a matter that resonates with female voters, critical to the Democrats' prospects in November. So, yeah, a lot of interesting issues swirling about.
Yes.
Ken in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Yes, hey there. I just don't get this whole religious issue. It's not like someone is standing there, like forcing the pill down anyone's throat, you
right.
know?
Right.
Each woman should have the option to say no, you know, but the option should be made available to them. It's no different than someone who's a Jehovah's Witness refusing a blood transfusion.
Exactly.
Save their life. No.
And Ken, it's this whole, you know, the you know, other social, you know, issue obviously is marriage equality. It's like, well, okay, if you're against it, here's an idea. Don't marry someone of the same sex. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, is that so difficult? I don't think so.
People have the right to agree with me.
Nick is... Yeah, go ahead, John.
It's labor law, you know? I mean, it's just very simple labor law. And they obey and abide by plenty of our laws, and they don't have to pay any taxes, and now they want to go against it for something that, again, is not supported by the Bible.
That's the point, that just don't take government money. We're not squelching anyone's religious freedom.
Pope John Paul was against the Iraq War, and Pope Benedict was against the Iraq War, and I don't recall too many right-wing Catholics being outraged over that.
Yeah.
I could recall them disobeying their faith to support an illegal war.
Mm-hmm.
Nick in Detroit. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, so here's the thing about the...
God, I love that Detroit accent. I really do.
I love it. Don't you? It's
oh, God, it's
South
so Motown.
It's South Detroit, actually.
well, there you go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, so the thing about Rick Santorum, his grasp of the order of events in the French Revolution is actually fairly decent. I assume this is from, like, flashcards and glove puppets or something that they used to explain it to him. But,
no, glove puppets are what he's trying to ban, sir.
Exactly. So he doesn't, he kind of understands the order of events. He has absolutely no grasp of why those events occurred.
Right.
This whole thing about like it being secular. Many of the people who died during the terror died precisely and specifically because they were atheists. Mm-hmm. There was a group called the Hebertists who actually died because their leader was a virulent and, you know, very bolshy atheist. And Robespierre didn't like that at all. So I love when people just like quote something they've like vaguely heard, kind of like the Bible. But now they also do it for things like important, you know, moments in Western history.
Mm.
Just.
Well, as Rick Santorum would say, what do you know about the revolution, you limey basted?
I know. Isn't that weird? I mean, you know, it's across the water. Actually, it's because my wife is obsessed with it, and it kind of rubs off. So.
Yeah, there you go. And you mean that in a dirty way. All right, good. Let's go to Carrie. Andrea in Palm Beach. Hey, Andrea, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I think that most people have forgotten, and hopefully John Hugelstein can back me up on this, is that, well, organizations like Planned Parenthood were actually organized and started originally by churches and members of the clergy back in the early and to mid-20th century. And it was, I think that this is something that really should be brought up, is that it was churches who helped put things like that together because they wanted women to have freely available access to health care, reproductive services, such as birth control, such as abortion, and I would really like to see that talked about a lot more.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they're just confused on social issues at this point, the religious right, aren't they, John? What do you call it, in Philly, about the million moms who are, you know, they've now protested Ellen DeGeneres and Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Yes.
If you don't like lesbians or Sweaty Balls, what the hell do you like? And if you're against birth control for straight women and gay marriage for, you know, gays who presumably practice perfect birth control. I know I do. I'm just saying, what are you for?
Yes, you lesbians and your zero abortion rate. But,
exactly.
You know, and that's the other thing, too. These are the people who told us that AIDS was God's punishment. So I'm like, well, then lesbians are the chosen people. They're the lowest risk group. But you know, we talked about this a little bit last week with the whole abortion issue.
Do I practice perfect birth control? I get nowhere near a penis.
It's
I'm
brilliant.
Just saying, if that's what you want.
So do I.
Hey! There you go.
Well, that's not true, actually. I work with plenty. But here's the thing.
Hey!
We talked about this last week this isn't work, this is fun. Bill Clinton said abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure most liberals would agree with that.
Yep.
Now, we don't have an abortion problem in this country. We have an abortion symptom. We have an unwanted pregnancy problem. And if you really care about stopping abortion, then you get all your right-wingers and left-wingers together and say, how are we going to solve this unwanted pregnancy problem? Because the Bible doesn't say a damn thing against using condoms.
Yep. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, Santorum speaking at CPAC this
uh-oh.
Hour. That'll
uh-oh.
Be exciting.
Santorum and CPAC.
More about
CPAC.
That's like some sort of... You could make spackle with that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is...
Yeah,
CSPAC. To fill in some holes.
CSPAC is its weekend.
Sure, yeah, it's awesome.
You can tell us more about how guillotines are exactly like contraception.
Yeah, exactly. What? Wait. Yeah, Mitch McConnell, John, by the way, said that conservatives are simply more fun than liberals.
Yeah, I heard that. Commissioner Mitch McConnell, that means something.
Yeah, which is why that sexy liberal comedy, or that right-wing comedy tour is going so well. Did they have they don't have that, no.
I want to tell you this. I always love coming to CPAC. And you probably know why. Conservatives are just simply more fun than liberals.
That's right.
Now, there's a reason for that, by the way. It's because we are always right.
What? No, that's a lie.
Yeah. By the way, John, did you hear I did the Glenn Beck actually is doing a comedy tour, charging $500 for VIP tickets.
Yes,
and
he is.
Little Birdie's told us how many he sold in certain markets that we've
12.
Been in. About 12 in one mark, about 16 tickets in another market.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
And then a
yep.
You know,
well, he can do a comedy tour, but we're doing an intentional comedy tour.
Well, thank you. I don't know. And the fact that it's the number one tour, maybe liberals are more fun than... Mitch McConnell last year actually said, who wants to hang out with Paul Krugman and Robert Reich when you can hang out with Rush Limbaugh?
Really?
I want to know, what does Mitch consider fun?
Just, OxyContin.
Unnecessary wars.
OxyContin falling out of someone's fat folds while they're
watching
heaving on top of you.
Die because they don't have enough money for medicine.
I think increased tax cuts for people who don't need them is fun.
All right. Not only do we have fun, we get love letters from sexy liberal John. Karen writes, this is a beautiful letter. Karen writes, Dear Roland, Stephanie, Jim, Chris, Rebecca, John, Hal, Rude Pundit, and staff, I just want to thank you guys for making me smile. Your podcast has accompanied me to more doctor's appointments than I can count. Yesterday, my boss asked me to get a topic to trend on Twitter. It's your new job. My boss wants me to keep things neutral politically. Yesterday, things were going well. I took a risk and sent out a personal tweet to Sexy Liberal. I got such a huge response because Sexy Liberal retweeted it. Thank you, Roland. I don't know how you do it, but if we meet the LA show, I'm buying you a drink. Hello. There was such a huge response from your listeners, I got permission to thank Sexy Liberal on behalf of the Scleroderma Foundation. You already acknowledge you have the best listeners, I agree. I sent and addressed this to all of you because I want you to know you play a part in bringing happiness with your fart joke political humor, not just to people driving to work, but many like me who are chronically ill and others who are home or bedbound. For many years of my health, I was quite isolated. Your show made me laugh, forget my pain, and inspired me. You guys make a huge difference in more ways. I want to cuddle with Karen. Thank you, Karen. That was very sweet.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, by the way, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, mm-hmm. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Lots of, there's new fabulous John Fugelsang Ian pictures up.
That's right.
From the,
Philly.
From Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Portland's up yet, but those, yet, those are
yet.
Fun.
I'm kind of working here.
All right.
I totally forgot I had a few from Portland.
Pardon me?
I totally forgot I had a few from Portland.
they're fabulous. He's the straight, Robert Mapplethorpe.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how he gets the angles he does. I don't remember him being there, but okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He's technically my gynecologist and my co-star in Sexy Liberal.
How'd
yes,
that happen?
I've taken pictures of you that involve a pap smear receipt. I
yeah.
can do that.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Before I do any photo of Stephanie, I say scooch down. That's how good
I am. Oh, stop it. All right.
Scooch.
That's the first word they teach you in GYN school, isn't it?
All right. Who wants a nice frothy
well,
scent?
Well, minus the S, but...
Who wants a nice frothy Santorum?
It's funny he's not having people come out and talk about his record.
Romney.
Governor Romney's campaign has been about serially tearing down opponents without offering any kind of vision for what he wants to do for this country.
Mm. For example, watch poor kids die because medicine is expensive, and so are iPods.
Did you hear that, John? At a town hall, he said to a sick kid and his mother, you know, he basically was protecting drug companies' right to charge whatever they want to.
Right.
Because he said people buy iPads, so stop bitching about how much your medicine is, stupid sick
that's
kid.
That's Rick Santorum going against his own religion, because Pope Benedict says that every country has responsibility to provide health care to its poor citizens. That is him going against his own church even more offensively than Obama could with birth control.
Ecclesiastical beating them to death with a hypocrisy stick this morning.
And again, Obama did nothing. Did nothing against Christianity. This is not an attack on religion. There is nothing in the Bible saying contraception's wrong.
Wow.
That's what the hypocrite stick sounds like.
Oh, really? Like it's like a toy guitar?
Yeah.
The Republican wives used to hit their husband that has hookers in the kids' playroom?
That's right.
Well, look, I love conservative Christians, okay? I don't love who they vote for, but I find very often, maybe you'll agree, often conservative Christian folks can be more liberal with kindness than actual liberals. They can be very warm, wonderful people who tend to vote for mean people. But when it comes to this, I'm sorry, I don't hear my point of view anywhere in the news. And you cannot go through the Bible and find anywhere where it says that contraception is wrong. It's not there. You can't do it. I'm the conservative on this. They're the freaks. And we have to hammer this point home because they have no argument and they are just trying to persecute the president. And it's another example of a majority playing oppressed victim for votes.
Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lori.
Good morning, kids. My very smart boyfriend, Patrick, who upon returning rental cars that have Sirius radio in them, always turns them to liberal talk radio, brought up a very valid point, and something I haven't heard. What's their stance on men and vasectomies?
Ah.
And, I'd love to have the Senate and Congress polled and find out how many of those boys have had vasectomies.
Mm. See, that's what I said last hour, Lori. That's between a man and his doctor.
That's contraception.
That's personal.
Do Catholic hospitals perform it?
Yes, and don't ask why they need the blue pills. It's not your business.
Those dudes are being polled. I don't think...
polled. Excuse me? Hey! Flargan! Scoing!
How do they feel about seniors getting married? I mean, how do they feel about old folks getting married when they're going to have sex for non-procreative purposes?
Exactly.
We have, like, code that just certain states understand. Like, Illinois, that's just for you. Scoing! Because you know that we mean Gary Scoing.
Gary Scoing.
Who is the Republican guy whose wife hit him in the head with a toy guitar after catching him in the kids' playroom with hookers.
Yes. And ironically, it sounded just like, scoing!
Scoing! Hi, honey.
And we think it was a Hannah Montana toy guitar.
We do.
Yeah.
Scoing.
You'd rather be hit in the head with Hannah Montana, apparently.
Hello. Will in Chicago, which is in Illinois, which is near. Scoing! Hi, Will.
It is. So is. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, you know, this whole thing about the labor rights law, there's a much larger picture at play here that I think a lot of people forget about. First of all, let's talk about the fact that the religious right has pushed a lot of medical schools, and I even teach doctors abortion. But more importantly, this whole Catholic healthcare system has been slowly eroding away a woman's choice. Let me give you a specific example. In North northern Kentucky, right across the street from Cincinnati. I want to say it's St. Anne's. I'm not exactly sure. But there is a large Catholic healthcare network, and they have literally bought up all the hospitals, all the medical facilities up there. They don't have Planned Parenthood there. They used to have a free health clinic area, a free health clinic for that area that they closed down. So what is going on now in northern Kentucky is a woman is not allowed or does not have access anymore to any contraception.
Yeah.
And if you're poor and you want to
get you're going to be discriminated against based on where you live. That's exactly,
yep. The only way you can even get access to contraception in that area now is to go across the river to Cincinnati because that's the only access you have.
You could date another guy from Kentucky and that would work. I'm kidding. Hal Sparks is from Kentucky and he's delightful.
He is. Well, he's the exception.
Yes.
Anyway, but this is really what it comes down to. I know. Wow, I just slammed Kentucky hard. really what it comes down to is this is a larger play that the right has been doing for a long, long time. And this is the first time the left has really kind of started to take a stand and say, okay, enough is enough. And now they're all upset because we're raining on their parade.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. By the way, we were talking about Rick Santorum. Mm-hmm. He gets the hyperbole award for saying the president's view of religion will lead us right to the beheadings.
What?
The guillotine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know what? There is a commandment there's no commandment that thou shalt not use birth control. There is a very specific commandment about bearing false witness. And Rick Santorum is a liar.
Oh, funny you should mention that, because I have a better grasp of history in that I know how to Google the Washington Post from 2005.
I just think it's interesting.
And find out that historically, Rick Santorum has always been a douche nozzle. I'm reading from the 2005. Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana said, "You couldn't quote what I have to say about him."
Oh, dear.
Barbara Boxer of California says he has a knack for, quote, becoming remarkably harsh and personal during debates. Former Democratic Senator Bob Kerry once wondered whether Santorum is Latin for anus. And that was pre-Google.
Yeah.
Teresa Heinz Kerry called him Forrest Gump with an attitude, and Howard Dean once called him a liar. So he's historically been a lying douche nozzle.
I opened our show the other night in Philly. I opened the show by saying it's such a pleasure to be back in a state that fired Rick Santorum.
Yes, hello, thank you. Even Scarlett Johansson is getting into the, she rips out Santorum's sweater vest. She said, oh gosh, so sad. My dad wore them, and I mean, they're charming for family photos, I guess, and dinner with the grandparents. I think there's an ironic way to wear a sweater vest, but other than that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh, frothy. they're irony deficient, as we know, our friends on the right.
Very much so.
Yes. All right, oh, and here, I forgot. We've got to post this. It's the Mitt photo op gone awry.
Oh,
have you seen this?
Yeah.
He literally is standing with five kids, and they have T-shirts on that spell money. M-O-N-E.
Oh, wow.
Why? And he's,
no. But it was meant to spell Romney, because the kid in the front has an R.
But it doesn't look like
R money, yeah.
Our money. We are money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But right, they're in the wrong order, whatever.
Exactly.
It's, yeah, and it's,
oh,
it's
that's
money.
Very funny.
Yeah, I love this. I don't know where this came from, but it says, unless someone managed to get a shot of Rick Santorum holding a jar of, you know.
Yeah.
Santorum. This is hands down the most embarrassingly appropriate image of the presidential candidates we'll see this year. We don't know who arranged the kids in this photo, but knowing Newt Gingrich's stance on child labor, they're probably on his payroll. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, baby, I was thumbing through the dictionary, trying to find words to describe you. I found one. You know what it is? It's
Stephanie Miller. Santorum.
It's not only the gayest bump we have, it's the most irritating.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we can,
get rid of this one?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Someone on the live blog says, J'accuse Jean Fugelsang.
No, someone on your Facebook page says, Okay, John, as far as same-sex issues in the church, check out Romans 1:27. It may shed a little light your way, John.
Oh, no, you did not. The ecclesiastical,
boy,
not personal comedy, Jesus.
Fun. It's so fun when they try to throw St. Paul at you. All right, first of all, yes, I am familiar with Romans 1:27, charming verse that it is. Let's talk about who this is. This isn't God talking, and this isn't Jesus talking. This is St. Paul talking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Paul 1, it's Romans 1:26, 1:27. And this is the only part of the New Testament they've really got that goes towards condemning homosexuality. Because when Jesus mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, he talks about what the story was really about, which is not about consensual same-sex behavior. It's about being kind to strangers. That's why God punished Sodom and Gomorrah, because those guys wanted to gang rape the angels. Okay, so 1:27 is St. Paul, and it's often used as a condemnation for homosexuality. But Paul really views the behavior itself as a punishment for sin rather than a sin deserving punishment.
Oh.
It's the one part of the Bible where Paul talks about women with women. He's Romans 1:26, God gave them up unto vile affections. So first off, Paul's saying it was God's fault. God was causing it, okay? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's meant to say women having sex with women. It's become known as the one part of the Bible that's against women with women. But it's not actually saying that, and at no point in the Bible does God prohibit women with women. God and Vivid Video have the same policy.
Thank you very much. And as I've said, women having sex with other women is dirty, but only if you're doing it right.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, let me add one more little really quick point to it.
Yes.
This is St. Paul. It's not Jesus. And St. Paul, a lot of people want to say, well, he's inspired by Jesus. Like, that's the same thing. But Paul was a sinner. Paul was a murderer. He was a persecutor. He had his transformation and became a very good guy. But Paul was the guy with all the sex hang-ups. When you read the Bible, Jesus is like this incredible liberal celebrity with an incredible conservative PR guy. And that's Paul.
Yeah.
Now, Paul is believed by many theologians, and this is very, very controversial, but a lot of theologians, including Bishop John Shelby Spong, believe Paul was a closeted gay man in the first century Holy Land.
I've heard that.
Because why else would this guy be so accepting and forgiving and loving of all sinners, but so disgusted by the vile urges of his own unholy flesh?
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Ick.
And also, a lot of these guys were against sex because they thought the world was literally going to end during their lifetime. Jesus didn't have the sex hang-ups. That was Paul. And Paul is saying that God did this to punish them, not that they were being punished. Sucka, you've been served.
Okay. All right. Then.
I have fools goals in you.
Comedy Jesus brought it.
But thank you for your comment, listener Mike.
Yeah, thanks, listener Mike. Try harder again to justify your hate for gay people.
Proves God hates homos. Straight
well,
there
you know
in
what?
The Bible.
Because it's been a... big gay week. Could I have some? Give me some gay music. Could you not that last one?
Okay.
Something else. marriage equality bill introduced in Illinois. Illinois state representatives filed a much anticipated marriage equality bill in the Illinois General Assembly. The Religious Freedom and Marriage Fairness Act.
Woohoo!
Good name. Good name. You just said this morning, Christine Gregoire.
Gregoire will sign the bill
in Washington State
on Monday.
We'll sign the bill on Monday.
Yep.
Which is why, John, the Westboro Baptist Church, of course, had to. Protest the funeral of those two little boys that were hacked to death with a hatchet and burned to death by their father.
Keep it up. Every day, Westboro Baptist Church convinces conservatives that they're not really homophobes.
Yeah.
Yes, and on cue, of course, the big ruling out here in California, a conservative attack court for striking down...
Did you expect any less?
Well, first of all, we have to clear up some, misconceptions. All right. Critics of the Ninth Circuit decision striking down Prop 8 have labeled the rule breathtaking, absurd, an act of judicial tyranny. In fact, as many legal experts have said that we had on this show, the decision is very restrained. The majority opinion did not hold. The Constitution requires all states to allow same-sex couples to marry. So even in legal circles, this is not considered, a particularly... it's narrow.
It's very narrow.
Judicially speaking.
Yeah. And purposefully
even,
so.
Even gay rights zealot Matthew Staver has reportedly acknowledged this is not a broad ruling and does not find the Constitution mandates same-sex marriage. So this is what passes for breathtaking and absurd by the Ninth Circuit, a limited decision that followed binding Supreme Court precedent and did not create a national right to same-sex marriage. It seems conservatives' real complaint is that the Ninth Circuit overturned a discriminatory law, not that the court acted lawlessly. Critics have also pushed the falsehood, which we've heard on Fox News over and over, that the Ninth Circuit has overturned more than any other than other federal appellate courts, a talking point the right trots out when they're unhappy with the O'Reilly does that ever. Oh, yeah. The Ninth Circuit. What are we doing?
Ah, that's a flaming limb.
Right.
Also impeach Earl Warren.
The Supreme Court reverses the large majority of cases it takes, and because the Ninth Circuit is far bigger than other courts of appeals, there are far more cases coming from the Ninth Circuit than from other courts. In terms of percentages, the Ninth Circuit does not have a particularly high reversal rate when compared to other courts. Just
you know,
FYI.
And if you're fighting for the top 1%, you're a strict constitutionalist. If you're fighting for the bottom 99%, you're an activist judge.
Yep. Oh, by the way,
yes.
Shafe in the chat room says, it sounds like St. Paul needed to chillax.
Yes, thank you. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If you could hear yourself right now, you would not stop throwing up.
Out where the river runs.
Oof. Hello. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Karen in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugel saying, hey, Karen.
Hi. I have a simple solution for the religious problem. If I were the one who invented a religion and I put forth that those were the, you know, precepts of my religion that you couldn't use birth control and stuff like that, then I would be making a mistake to get in a business where I have to provide it. So how about they just sell the hospitals and healthcare organizations to people who want to provide healthcare to the masses, because our Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is pretty hard if you're not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, or, you know, you could open just a little tiny, like, Whoville hospital for the 2% of Catholic women that don't use contraception.
Yeah.
It's just a little niche, is all I'm saying. All right. Time Magazine, the headline, social issues overtake U.S. politics. All of a sudden, abortion, contraception, and gay marriage are at the center of American political discourse, with the struggling, though improving economy pushed to the background. And that's why. Because now they're like, okay, never mind about the economy. You know, the president's trying to kill religion and behead us.
Jesus likes guillotines.
Don't look at the jobs. None of it over here. Social issues don't typically dominate the discussion in shaky economies, but they do raise emotion. Important factors like voter turnout. Because they have a Republican field that, it's record low turnout. Yeah. They have no enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. The economy's provably improving. Now they're like, you know, literally.
And
war on religion.
Ahead.
Yeah. Excuse me?
Oh, there's the Santorum family at Sea Spackle.
Oh, heavens. There they are. Hello. The economy still tops the list of voters' concerns, probably will still shape this presidential election, but now at least the culture wars of the 90s are back. Everything old is new again. I know. It does. Don't you think, John? We've just been talking about marriage equality, though. The problem is, you know, they were losing that fight a while ago. Now they're really losing it. Now there's majority support in the country for marriage equality.
But now they're in this feeding frenzy to try to get the nomination, so they're all going more and more to the right, which is why I do think this is some brilliant Axelrod ploy. Apparently he's good at stuff other than appearing on Sunday morning talk shows. I do think that what they're doing is they're forcing all of them to go more to the right on social issues, which is lose-lose for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
It's great for fundraising, and it's great for getting a nomination. It's not great for getting independent votes in a general election.
Nope.
Well, and Politico had an interesting piece. I wanted to get your take on a Prop 8 ruling takes heat off Obama. Interesting. By overturning California's Prop 8 but stopping short of declaring a federal constitutional right for gays to marry, the Ninth Circuit dashed hopes it would spur a national debate on the issue and nudge President Obama into an election year embrace of same-sex marriage.
I thought that was a really interesting analysis there.
President of Equality Matters said that if the court had ruled there was an inherent right, Obama would have been in an awkward political spot that marriage equality advocates could have leveraged. There is good and bad in this, another gay rights activist said. The bad part is there's no compelling reason for the president to speak up before the election.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term, the decision does very much dial down the pressure as a campaign issue between now and the election. I still think Obama will have to say more directly what his own view is, but that day has not been brought forward by this decision the way some of us thought it might be.
I think that day is probably going to come after his reelection. That's the day, because I think this might be the last Democratic president we have that has said that they were against gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. And he's already said he's evolving.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is the alternatives. I mean, this is the most homophobic,
right.
To me, field of Republican, any of them, yeah. Right. Republican
and
candidates.
Can I say something about this as well? Because, yeah. I mean, we know Barack Obama's not opposed to gay marriage.
Right.
We know
yeah.
Bill Clinton wasn't. And we also know, and yep. I was on the Young Turks last night, and I brought this up to Cenk. You know, if Bill Clinton hadn't signed the Defense of Marriage Act, Bob Dole might have become president mm-hmm. in 96.
Yep.
These
yep.
are the compromises presidents do. And a lot of liberals who are really mad at seeing what a compromiser Obama is, I said this in the discussion at Philly last week, we could get Dennis Kucinich to challenge in a primary. We could get all the liberals together and raise money, get Kucinich into the White House. And what would happen? There'd be nothing, because ideological purity doesn't mm-hmm. work in politics.
Well, and listen to the Republican candidates. Mitt Romney said, unelected judges cast aside the will of the people in California who voted to protect traditional marriage, blah, 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 blah. That prospect underscores the vital importance of this election. Yes, it does.
But if the people...
I believe marriage between a man and a woman is president. I'll protect traditional marriage and appoint judges who interpret the Constitution, blah, 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 blah,
blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah. And it was appointed judges who appointed George Bush president in 2000.
Thank you.
Exactly. But that was an activist.
More and more yeah. Americans are being exposed to the radical overreach of federal judges and their continued assault on the Judeo-Christian right. foundations of the U.S. Newt Gingrich. Oh, Newt, don't talk about marriage, for God's sake. I mean,
the sanctity
really,
of marriage, frankly, is a big thing yeah. of concern to me.
He predicted a constitutional crisis of the first order if the Supreme Court upholds Tuesday's ruling.
You know what, idiots? If the people vote themselves an unconstitutional law and it is struck down by the judiciary, that's what the judiciary is there for.
And guess what, John? Polls show that if we did put this back on the ballot today, it would win in a landslide in California, marriage
yep.
equality.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So then what?
It had the exact opposite effect.
Yeah.
You know,
that
yeah,
they intended.
In 2000, when they had this, it passed by 20 points. In 2008, it passed by what? It was a very, by 20%, rather. It was a very smaller percentage. And yeah, of course, now it would happen. They are on the wrong side of history. Bigots always are. This is why it sucks being a liberal,
well,
because we
is,
want change to come right away,
we
but
had,
evolution's gradual.
We had Rob Reiner on the other Tuesday when this, or excuse me, yeah, when
yes.
the decision came down.
That guy has good taste.
Yes, indeed he does. But, you know, that's what he was saying, is that this is exactly, I mean, he just thinks it's a waste of time to go back on the ballot. This is exactly their point. You're not supposed to put minority rights to majority vote.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we would win. That's not the point. They're fighting, you know, a larger civil rights battle here. David Boies said the narrowness of the Ninth's decision might keep the case out of the Supreme Court for now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. Ted Olson said that when the issue does reach the Supreme Court, the nuances of the Ninth Circuit decision may not matter. He said our opponents may say they live to fight another day. They may live to fight another day, but they will lose.
Yep.
He said, in the meantime, even if the ruling keeps same-sex marriage advocates from pressuring Obama to embrace their position, opponents say they could use that as a rallying point for social conservatives and therefore create a setback for Obama this fall. Yeah, don't think so.
No, nope.
Somebody of the family something Flavin, Flavrin, and Scoin said, I would think it would hurt the president and help motivate our folks. Well, that's all they're grasping for now.
Yeah.
They're grasping for homophobic straws at this
right.
point.
Yes, they are, and they know they're going to lose.
Yeah.
They know it.
And they haven't been very motivated in the in primaries and caucuses so far.
And senators,
but more importantly, where's the birth certificate?
And Senator Manondog, I think we all know how he feels about the gays.
Yeah,
I just think it's interesting that you're asking that question about Governor Romney and his attack dogs. I mean, that just tells
Senator
you a little
Manondog,
bit about what his campaign's all about.
Oh, he talks like one of those obnoxious high school Republican club guys.
Yeah,
oh.
exactly. Yeah.
Who wears the tie for no reason to
uh-huh.
school.
Yeah.
Oh.
And here, I know, this is so high school. He's like, oh, Romney says he's private sector guy. No, he's not. He's Mr. Big Government guy.
He supported the Wall Street bailouts. The man who says, I'm the private sector guy. I'm the guy that believes in limited government. I'm the guy that understands the private sector. I'm the guys that create jobs. It's for government running the healthcare system, manufacturing, energy, and financial services. If he's the private sector guy, I'd like to see the public sector guy.
I'm sweater vest guy.
Yeah, he also opposed the Detroit bailout, which he's been proven wrong on. You know, Clint Eastwood did a whole movie about what Mitt Romney was wrong. It was the best part of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Mittens yesterday.
I believe that while Senator Santorum was serving in Congress and the Senate, government spending increased by some 80%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nudie, struggling to remain relevant.
Bless his heart.
And again, who signed the bailout? Who did the bailout? That was the Republican President Bush.
Thank you.
Among Tea Party members, I have a much stronger following than Rick does.
Both of them.
And they understand that it's principled and that I am supportive of the Tea Parties. I'm not attacking them as he did.
I think teabaggers are behind Santorum, myself. Don't you?
Yeah.
You know, Newt Gingrich will never bring up the fact, he will never bring up the fact that he entered the speakership by saying we will do zero compromise, which is exactly the opposite of what politics is. And then when he brags about how he managed to balance the budget for 6 years, he won't mention that it could have been longer, except he had to leave his job, and he won't mention he balanced the budget by raising taxes on the rich.
Thank you.
By the way, I think we need to keep Santorum out of your lady parts.
Really?
Yes.
I think
Oh, yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. You don't want to get any Santorum near the birth canal. It's not good in any way.
John, I don't know about you, but, you know, as we've gone through the sexy liberal comedy tour, I'm just saying we maybe should have given to some of these dying Republican campaigns, because I miss the Rapture Bot 2000, don't you?
I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to hear it, Miller. I begged you to give money to a Kane-Bachman campaign. You wouldn't do it.
That crazy Michelle Bachman at CPAC.
Obama's miscalculations are changing history, as we are now on the verge of a nuclear Iran.
Huh?
And Iran is committed to both the destruction of Israel and of the United States. Oh, Jehovah God.
Iran.
Oh, Jehovah God. The end times are here.
Look, Israel already has 300.
Yeah.
If Iran gets one, it's going to hurt Iran more than anyone else.
I keep making the analogy, John. It's like the last scene in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids. That's all I'm saying.
I never
saw that. Iran's going to come out with their pistols. Wait a minute. That's all I'm saying. Jim makes a good point.
I never saw that.
Oh, for God's sakes. Come out shooting with Paul Newman and Robert Redford, and there's a huge
Then he pulls the mask
army
off.
See the movie.
And it turns out he's Scooby-Doo.
See the movie. See the movie.
Okay. Right, never mind. I'm not
I know they jump off a cliff at some point, right?
See the movie, Chris.
Okay.
It's really a good
You're
film.
Thinking of Thelma and Louise.
I can't swim. The fall will probably kill you. Yes, they jump off a cliff, see?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
That's halfway
You're
through the movie.
You're thinking of Junces. Oh. What? No.
No.
God, I miss the cane train as well.
Cane train.
Turns out those 999 lying bitches were expensive. Herman Cain's campaign spent $316,000 on post-scandal legal bills. Oh, dear. Hard to be a fiscal conservative when you keep your sausage out of the sausage grinder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No blitz.
No. 45 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays at Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fridays with people saying the ecclesiastical Mook on fire today.
Yes.
He is the god of hellfire.
I have a big announcement to make.
And if you, well, I was just going to say, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Please finish your sentence.
I was going to promote your show.
Oh, thank you.
I was segueing.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Yes, please.
I am bringing my Drama League nominated one-man off-Broadway show on the road. It's called Guilt, A Love Story. It was nominated for the Drama League's Distinguished Performance Award, but I lost to that hack, Liev Schreiber. And, you know, very often the callers call in and want to know about my mom, the ex-nun, and my father, the ex-Franciscan, and this is a show about my parents and their love story, as well as about what happened when my mom laid the greatest act of Catholic and parental guilt on me in history. And it includes everything from a story about when I offered hot gay sex to David Duke on the Bill Maher show.
Awesome.
To a drug bust in the Orlando airport after 9/11. And it is a very funny one-man play that we will be bringing to Madison, Wisconsin on May the 11th. And the tickets are on sale now, as well as to the Neptune Theater in Seattle, Washington, on the, I believe, the 3rd of April. So,
where can we find
really
all
excited.
This information, John Fugelsang?
You can find us on the Sexy Liberal page, on my Twitter, the Sexy Liberal Twitter, johnfugelsang.com. We'll have it up by the end of the day, or my Facebook. And we'll be playing the Barrymore a few, about a month or so after our sold-out show there.
Awesome. Sweet. Barrymore. Awesome. Sweet.
I judge Berlin as I'm going to walk frustrated.
If you bring it around the Los Angeles area, I would like to see it.
Yes, I will actually be bringing it to the Los Angeles area later on. I would say late summer, early fall.
Awesome.
And it's a show I'm very proud of. It's not a stand-up show. It is a scripted one-man play. It's sort of like if Spalding Gray and George Carlin had a bastard child.
Uh-huh.
And it's very inappropriate and very, very edgy and filthy, but also heartwarming and moving.
Very cool.
So I hope to see you all there.
I bring the fart jokes and, of course, the jokes to Sexy Liberal.
We're plugging Word. Stuff,
I bring the lowbrow and the unibrow.
Yes.
John
Bruce,
brings the highbrow.
The Bruce Sanborn Band is playing tonight at Jotzer Daily. In Culver City, 11168 Washington Boulevard, at 10 o'clock, which means I'll probably be asleep in the car. But the
okay, awesome. Yeah. But presumably, theoretically, Jim will be there. Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. Say, two points I have. Number one, wouldn't it be, I think it's time that we have a discussion on the 501c status of specifically the Catholic and evangelical churches, because they're no longer, I mean, they're churches in the sense that they provide this spirituality to the flock, but they're also political organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my first point. My second point is the question of birth control. I believe that we're looking at this the wrong way, and we're allowing the squeaky wheel to dictate the conversation. What I mean by that is that the question isn't, is the government imposing its will on the Catholic Church? The question is, why is the Catholic Church opposed to something that is so beneficial to millions of people around the world when their alleged stated mission is to protect the sanctity of life? But we all know that birth control, you know, keeps reduces poverty, unwanted pregnancies,
mm-hmm. right.
and all the
mm-hmm.
other things that come with it. So if the Catholic Church is really a humanistic organization devoted to, you know, protecting life, you would think they would support birth control, because certainly we don't
exactly.
have a problem with humans. Mm. We're not.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing for a lot of unwanted children to be brought into the world that later become serial killers.
Hmm. Well, yeah, you understand what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Very good point. Mm-hmm. All right. I think, you know, the Right Wing World Award already has to go to Rick Santorum, who said Obama has put America on the path of executing religious people by decapitation.
Yes.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Hyperbole much?
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into Right Wing World and see what other ridiculous things lurk there. Ooh, you know, I think this was your point this morning, Chris.
Yes.
Eric Bowling on The Five.
Can I just throw a conspiracy theory out here?
Yeah, please. Mm-hmm.
Here's what I
got setting up.
I watched it. I saw the weigh-in this morning. I listened to all the talking heads say, oh, my gosh, Obama really screwed up here. This is a great opening for conservatives and the right. And it dawned on me.
On what? Maybe, on screwed up on what?
Well, by going, that's a good point, going after, this Obamacare, making sure that Catholics, employers are required to provide sterilization
right.
and abortion
right. okay.
and whatnot. So then it dawned on me, what if they were trying to derail this big Romney train that won Florida handily, that won Nevada handily, and they go, how are we going to break up this train? How are we going to break the right up? And they did. They picked the
I think they want this fight,
very
Eric.
Right side partisan.
They want this
right?
fight.
Yeah. I think they're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Moi. Excuse me.
Dang it, they figured us out.
I think they're right. Yeah, I think it's a very deliberate timing
yes.
on the part of the White House.
And Santorum is frothing over at CPAC right now, talking about how great fracking is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not a
mm-hmm.
weird conspiracy.
Yay.
Water doesn't catch fire.
Flammable drinking water. Yay.
You go with that.
Okay. Your drinking water is boring. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, no fireworks
in yours. My life's on fire. Okay, Andrea Tantaros on Hannity.
Well, don't forget, Nancy Pelosi believes that birth control is stimulative. Those were comments that she made. And a lot of this is for population control, Jamu. This has nothing to do with women's health.
What?
Population control?
Yeah, this is what liberals are doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Dramatically decreases ovarian
cancer. And is it stimulative?
Yeah.
That was someone trying to get a fact in. That was
yeah,
a liberal
on Hannity, channel. But Hannity wasn't having any.
Yeah,
idea.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because contraception only kills Republicans. Is that your point?
Mm. What?
Yes.
Okay.
Liberals are all
being born.
Yeah. Sure.
But if you don't want abortion and you don't like poverty, why wouldn't you let poor people have less children? Now, the Catholic Church is against it because it keeps their numbers high, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a business decision on their
part. It's the same as in the Onan story, but it's, of course, limiting them and putting them into being a third world religion. This is why so many liberals had a big problem with Mother Teresa when she would go around telling poor people their poverty was a gift from God. Or the popes when they tell people, you know, you can't be devout unless you're pumping them out. You'll get your reward in heaven, and now I'm going to get in my bulletproof car to show I'm in no rush to get there myself.
Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
I think what you brought up earlier is very important to this discussion, which is this is about religious freedom.
Absolutely.
And just imagine if there was another religion that was being attacked. I mean, I think that's the way to really look at this whole thing.
What?
Your rights could be taken away down the road.
Huh? What is she? No one's
so no one will be left when they come for you. No one will
and
be left.
And whose freedoms are being taken away? Whose freedoms are being taken away at all by this? You know, the church, all the church has to do is tell their followers, be good Christians and don't use birth control, and then see if they obey. That's all they got to do.
There you go.
Someone on Twitter has a very good point. So if your boss is Christian Scientist, does that mean prayer is your only form of health care?
Yes, apparently.
Okay. Slippery slope.
I can't wait for the Scientologist to get involved in this.
Michelle Monken, all you get to do is have your e-meter adjusted if you have
any
malady at all.
I can't wait to hear Mike Huckabee say, we're all Scientologists now.
Michelle Monken, Fox and Friends.
There was President Obama siding not only with the tramplers of religious rights, but mostly, of course, with Planned Parenthood and the femagogues who've been pushing this for the duration of his tenure.
So femagogues. She's never used never used birth control.
No, I guess not.
Noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin, who apparently is not a femagogue.
Yeah, she sounds just like a really unpleasant person to be around.
You think?
Completely humorless.
Oh, and that we haven't even gotten to the Dana Loesch show.
Are we going to have to do that after the break?
Yes, we are.
Oh, dag nabbit.
It's your passive-aggressive way of getting to me,
show. I know how much you love that show.
Why must you foist the Dana show on me? All right. you're
Laura Ingraham, all is forgiven, Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
You're impinging upon my freedom to avoid shrill radio. All right, we'll be back with that and Ari Berman from The Nation on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Ha ha! You're right, Chris.
What?
Of President Obama. Brilliant.
He is.
He is 3D, multi-dimensional chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. He has moved a piece toward the bishops. Check and checkmate.
Yeah.
White House announces contraception accommodation. On a conference call, a senior administration official announced the White House will move the onus to provide women free contraceptive services to insurance companies if their religiously affiliated employers object to providing coverage that covers birth control. All women will still have access to free preventative care that includes contraceptive services. The official said the insurance company will be required to reach out directly and offer her contraceptive coverage free of charge if the employer objects to providing that coverage and benefit.
Just before they give her comprehensive guillotine.
Game over, man! Game over!
This is something that Obama can point to as saying that he's a compromiser and the people on the other side of the aisle are rigid idealists.
Until they bring out the guillotines.
Needs a compromiser, and the American people are on his side.
Exactly.
And he compromises anyway.
I would like to see his gift certificate.
First. Fracking is good!
First certificate. Okay. All right.
He wants to chop your head off!
Yes, that's why. That's what you're left with. The president wants to behead you, doesn't he, Frothy? We just have to hear that one more time.
There was another constitution written similar to the time of the American Constitution.
Uh huh.
That was over in France.
France.
But that revolution and that constitution, by the way, was similar to the American Constitution. There was a difference, though. It was a secular revolution, of which we relied upon the goodness of each other. This is the blessed view of where America should go.
Huh?
And, of course, where did France go?
France.
To the guillotine.
Guillotine!
Yeah.
J'accuse.
There are
now.
No rights that government needs to respect.
Nobody
in
France has a head.
What we see with Obamacare is just the beginning of what government will do to you.
That's what government does to you.
We'll be a nation of headless French zombies.
A
you really... Like,
They can't even eat cheese. They have to stuff it right down their neck because they have no hands.
Yeah, the French. Where were they in the Revolutionary War?
In their
Shut
neck
up
hole.
About my brown sweater vest. What's wrong with brown?
Shoving cheese in their neck hole.
Oh, my God.
I want to remind all these CPACs that the French saved our butts in the American Revolution.
Yes, thank
And if it wasn't for the French, we'd all be speaking English.
Vive la Revolution. All right. Kids, one of our very personal favorite writers, Ari Berman from The Nation, by the way, it's out in paperback, Herding Donkeys.
Yes.
And he has an amazing new article. And amazing, I mean terrifying and depressing. That's what Ari does. How the GOP is resegregating the South. Ari joins us now. Hi, Ari.
Good morning to all you Francophiles.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bonjour.
We are decapitators. Thank you. Ari, you know, we keep talking about, obviously, you know, to us, the president again winning on another political issue. But you always focus on stuff that people miss that is just terrifying. This article is how the GOP is resegregating the South in the Nation. Talk to us about this, because they can't seem to win on the issues, so this is what happens, right? Let's change the rules.
I think one of the things that happens is there's so much coverage on the presidential campaign and the economy and how Obama is doing and how Mitt Romney is not doing or how badly he is doing, that there isn't a lot of coverage on all the other things that Republicans are doing to try to shore up their victories since 2010. And the things that I've been writing about more specifically are the attempts to really shape the electorate in their favor. And so one way they've shaped the electorate, which I've talked to you about, is all these new voting restrictions that I wrote about for Rolling Stone. Another way they've shaped the electorate, which I just wrote about for The Nation, is by using the redistricting process. So let me just give you a quick overview of how redistricting works. Obviously, you know how this works, Stephanie, but just the listeners in general, which is that after the 2010 census comes out, the parties or the people in power in the states, usually the state legislatures, draw new districts. And they're supposed to be based on population growth. This time around, because of the 2010 election, Republicans control 20 states in the redistricting process, and Democrats only control 7. And the rest are home to either split governments or to independent redistricting commissions. And so Republicans have a tremendous amount of power in this process. And their power is most concentrated, interestingly enough, down south, because even though the South has trended Republican on the presidential level for many years, Democrats controlled the state houses in most of the South until 2010, so basically from Reconstruction to 2010. And now that they're in charge, what they're basically trying to do is they're trying to ensure that regardless of population growth, that the Republican Party will be the white party in the South, and the Democratic Party will be the black party of the South, and thus Republicans will rule for the next decade as a result.
As you quote the NAACP, you know, the redistricting maps are an intentional and cynical use of race that exceeds what is required to ensure fairness to previously disenfranchised racial minority voters. I think you quote someone else as saying, we're having the same conversations we had 40 years ago in the South, that black people can only represent black people and white people can only represent white people.
So what you have in the South is you have these majority-minority districts that were set up by the Voting Rights Act to give minorities voting power in states where historically their right to vote has been undermined. And so what Republicans did is they've basically cynically exploited the Voting Rights Act in the South to pack Democrats into heavily majority-minority districts, to artificially inflate the numbers so that as many Democrats are in as few districts as possible, and then Republicans are controlling everywhere else. And what they're doing is they're systematically taking out the swing districts that are controlled by white Democrats. And so they're basically ghettoizing the Democratic Party into a few heavily majority-minority districts while drawing the rest of the districts for the Republican Party. And that's producing a major swing away from Democrats and towards Republicans in major swing states like North Carolina.
As you say, it's a Southern strategy that would make, you know, Richard Nixon and Lee Atwater proud. You say the consequences of redistricting in North Carolina, one of the most important swing states in the country, could determine who controls Congress and the presidency in 2012. GOP candidates could win just over half the statewide vote for Congress and end up with 62-77% of the seats.
Yeah, it's really alarming what's happening in North Carolina. Right now, there are 7 Democrats and 6 Republicans representing the Congress there. After redistricting, that could become 10 Republicans and 13 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. And the way they're doing that is they're drawing Obama's vote. Obama won 8 of 13 congressional districts in North Carolina. They're drawing his vote into only 3 heavily Democratic districts. So the 3 Obama districts would have voted for him by 68% or higher, while the rest of the districts would have favored John McCain. So they're essentially taking an Obama state and turning into McCain state just by virtue of how they're drawing the districts, and that's allowing Republicans to pick up a number of seats, not only in the Congress, but on the state legislative level, where basically they don't even have to win the swing races anymore because they have such a solid conservative majority. In a state where Republicans hadn't controlled the General Assembly there since the McKinley administration.
And you say the Republican Party controls the process in 20 states, including key swing states like Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Virginia, Wisconsin, compared with 7 for Democrats. As I do in every conversation with you, Ari, isn't there anything we can do about this? You write such great stuff, and yet I'm like, what? I mean, because you just kind of, as usual with Republican dirty tricks, go, can they do this? And apparently,
the first thing is Democrats picked a very bad election to lose in 2010, but because of redistricting. But it is true that in a wave election, these people can still be swept out because the map was fairly gerrymandered after 2000, and there was still a fair amount of turnover. Apparently, 20% of the seats in Congress switched back and forth. So there still is some turnover regardless of how the maps are drawn. It just makes it harder to get rid of incumbents. It doesn't mean you can't get rid of them. It just makes it harder. There's also...
Thank you, Obama naysayers. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to blurt that out because I have a couple around me. But anyway, what...
There's also going to be some challenges to this. There's a challenge in Texas to the redistricting map, which is a really flagrant violation of minority voting rights because Texas gained a lot of basically 4.3 million people between 2000 and 2010. Almost all that growth came from Hispanics and African Americans, and they picked up 4 congressional seats as a result. But the seats were awarded by Texas Republicans to white Republicans, even though they should have gone to most likely Hispanic or African American Democrats.
So and Ari, your stuff is so important because it talks. You know, I think any of us can say this has been a blatantly racist, almost free of dog whistles, you know, Republican primary, whether it's Newt Gingrich in South Carolina or, you know, Rick Perry having an N-word head ranch. I mean, but this is like that. You're right. It's not just stuff like that. It's actual policy. It's the stuff that they're doing behind the scenes that's even worse, right?
Well, rhetoric is always what grabs people's attention and makes the headlines, right? But this is actually much more disturbing because it has ramifications of who governs for the next decade. And the use of race in redistricting or the use of race to limit the electoral influence of minority voters is just one part of the Southern strategy because we've seen a lot of really scary pieces of legislation come out of the South in particular, whether it's anti-immigration legislation or ending integrated busing, drug testing welfare recipients, making it harder for death row inmates to challenge convictions based on racial bias. I mean, it all adds up to the type of Southern strategy that was used by people like Richard Nixon. They got called out on it pretty successfully. Now it's flying sort of more under the radar. So Gingrich will get a lot of flack for calling Obama the best food stamp president in American history, right? Which is, of course, factually just untrue.
Yeah.
The consequences of what's happening in terms of the drawing of the districts or the limiting of the right to vote isn't getting as much attention. That's why I've been writing these articles.
So it can be challenged legally is your answer in some ways. And secondly, turnout, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people have to turn out. I mean, you can't control which district you're drawn into, okay? That's a problem. So you're just going to have to vote for your state legislative candidate or your congressional candidate. And the numbers are going to be hard for Democrats to win in some of these places. But certainly on the statewide level, certainly on the presidential level, turnout still matters a lot. And one of the things that Republicans are trying to do is by drawing these districts in this way, they're trying to create a system of racially polarized voting that will hurt Democratic candidates on the statewide level and on the presidential level. So by turning the Democratic Party or trying to turn the Democratic Party, which is a multiracial coalition, into like the quote-unquote black party in North Carolina, they're trying to make it harder for Obama to win re-election. So he is put in a box that he doesn't belong in. And that's one of the things that people have to fight against, is that perception. And Obama did a very good job of fighting against it in 08, and we thought that we'd move beyond that, right?
Yep.
But I think we're, in some ways, we're right back where we started, even though the conversation isn't really occurring.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Ari, great stuff. Terrifying, depressing, just like always. Herding Donkeys out in paperback. You can get it right at herdingdonkeys.com.
That's right. We have a link to it up at your website and up at the Stephanie Miller Facebook page.
There you go. Ari Berman of The Nation. Ari, thanks so much as always.
Always here to brighten your day.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Gloomy little Gus. Okay.
Hey, right. Foster Freeze has the best joke of the day.
Yeah.
What's that?
I saw
you
that.
You hear this joke? Yeah. He stole it. It was all over Twitter, but he was speaking at CPAC. Foster Freeze, of course, is the guy who's bankrolling Santorum.
He's the tasty Freeze.
Yeah,
Santorum Freeze.
He opened his speech with this joke up at CPAC, and it's a great joke. He said, a liberal, a moderate, and a conservative walk into a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Bartender says, hi, Mitt.
La, 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 la. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real.
Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I made homemade chicken baked chicken. Knock your socks off, Jim Moore.
Yeah.
Last night, yeah.
But my life, my love, and my lady is the sea, so.
Yeah. Right?
What are you going to do?
Right?
Yeah. Brandy, it's not just for breakfast anymore.
No.
Boy, Stephanie knows that.
Yes, boy, howdy. Hello now. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, no, he didn't. Foster Freeze said Santorum is the three-legged stool of Reaganism.
Yes.
Yes. You got to buy your own rope.
Oh,
Santorum
he is,
stool.
He
come
is
for the ice cream, stay for the stool.
He is a stool. Sure. Yep. Well, yeah. As you know, I just surfed the Santorum wave of from
we're a dry suit. Not even a wetsuit.
I surfed at home from Philly for Philly Sexy Liberal Saturday night back to California.
That was
how big the Santorum surge was.
I thought you were done with that.
I would have sold Santorum Surge protectors at the Philly Sexy Liberal had I known there was going to be such a...
This is Dennis Moore Mellencamp with the National Mental Health Alert Warning System with a Santorum Surge warning.
Mm-hmm.
A Santorum Surge is now in effect alongside of a line and 100 miles either side of a line moving from Colorado to Missouri. Residents in these areas are advised to take Santorum Surge precautions immediately, which include covering windows and doorways with plastic tarps and securing them with duct tape.
Yuck.
Move children and small animals into bathtubs and shower stalls. Take any plants that might be affected by a surge in Santorum and cover with hefty bags. Align your pants to magnetic north. The National Mental Health Alert System will advise you when the threat of the Santorum search is over.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Look away. Yeah, that's
look away.
Good advice.
Yes. Don't do it. All right. Sexyliberal.com, Sexyliberal on Facebook. I believe we will have, and also on my Stephanie Miller Show Facebook, we'll have some pictures up.
Yes.
From
yes.
Philadelphia Sexyliberal, from Portland Sexyliberal.
Philadelphia is up. Portland will be up.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. The straight John Mapplethorpe, John Fuel was saying, with some more amazing gynecological and proctological shots of me
now.
From those shows. Thank you, John.
Chicago, man. Chicago. Who's coming to see us in Chicago?
March 3rd, tickets almost gone for Chicago. Phoenix is up next. That's already gone. I'm not supposed to mention it there.
Know.
I did it again. Oops.
I can't wait to see you guys there.
Oh, Chris is going to that one.
Yeah,
We're gonna make his buffness open for us, John.
She told me to wear something tight.
Yep, wear something tight for Mama. Albuquerque, March 31st. Also, tickets flying out the door, almost gone. Madison already gone. Sorry. For Madison Sexy Liberal, sold out. Sorry. Minneapolis. That's the one. Aisha Tyler joins us from Minneapolis, in for Hal in
so
Minneapolis.
Hot.
So exciting. Boston is in June. Los Angeles, of course, coming up. Oh, by the way, yeah, somebody wrote me a question about that. Los Angeles in July. This is from Carrie. Steph, my 16-year-old son has a birthday wish for his 17th birthday, the 4th of July. Tickets to Sexy Liberal. Because we homeschooled our boys before their middle school and high school years, they spent mornings listening to your show. Now that my 16-year-old is at school, he feels so deprived because he only hears you for half an hour before he catches the bus.
Aww.
That is a severe detriment to his education.
Yeah.
We do get your podcast, which helps. Educational tools, only $4.95 a month. Better than Encyclopedia Britannica.
Put him on the bus with an iPod strapped to his ears,
there
listening to the Stephcast.
Or iHeartRadio, whichever. But Riley wants to see you in person. I think he hopes to get groped. Uh-oh. Google if that's legal in L.A. Actually, I know he wants to grope because I asked him if that's what he was thinking. My younger son is 14 and loves you, too. Oh, dear. Let's see. Any tickets left for L.A. would my teenage boys be able to attend? I say yes.
Computer says yes.
Groping.
Computer says no.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, maybe that's consult your lawyer.
Let's see.
A little inappropriate.
Will he be 17 yet? All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
18 is the age.
Okay. No groping.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, one tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Woo-hoo!
And another portion of the proceeds will be to bail Stephanie out of jail.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you don't know the age of consent, Stephanie.
Just Google Lisa. She's 33. I'm fine there.
Okay.
That was close.
As far as you know.
He'll write a tell-all, groped by a lesbian.
By the way, Abby Land is the new president of Trevor
Abby
Project.
Land is my favorite part of Disneyland.
She's
Downtown
awesome.
Abby Land is great in season 2.
All right, you know what? She's awesome. She used to be president of West Hollywood, I believe. Mayor of West Hollywood, pardon me. Okay. At any rate, all right.
Queen.
Hmm?
Why not? Queen.
What? Yes. Oh, and don't forget Mama's big birthday show, Seattle, September 29th, on my birthday. Tickets even going fast for that, so hurry. All right, 29. Oh, in fact, I have to tell you something about Madonna when we get back.
Oh, dear.
Oh, sexy liberal. Yeah, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Known for having a twisted sense of humor.
Oh, don't worry, I watch
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, so you know.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. John, I don't know if you heard the sad breaking news, but we just played the L.A. Sexy Liberal and, the Pollstar Awards. We lost Best New Tour to Lady Gaga.
I heard.
Bitch.
We lost Best New Tour to Adele.
Mm-hmm. I am not one of your fans.
Whom you punched in the throat.
Hello.
That's karma.
But I'm like, I'm going to fight fair. And I lost Best Lead Comedy Performer to Louis C.K.
Whatever.
And we'd like to wish them all well.
Who won Best Set? Who won Best Lighting?
Billy Elliot.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was my one shot at greatness. Well, you know,
really, really happy for everybody.
Yeah, we are happy for everybody.
Of
because
course.
This has never happened before. This is the first ever progressive political comedy tour in history. It's being done with no corporate money behind it. It's purely independent. This is a pure David and Goliath thing. And the very fact that we got noticed for 4 nominations is a victory in itself.
And by the way, John, I was going to say, Philly, God bless you. I couldn't be, it's very touching because, I was nervous about that one. It's the one city, there's never been progressive radio. I've never been on the radio, not even on the weekend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and we sold out. I mean, that was one of the, I think in Facebook, it was one of the Facebook pages that popped up first. It was like the highest concentration of demand for the show, and even though we're not, no advertising, no nothing.
Yep, and
completely
they're coming after us even more. We're getting more and more requests between Columbus, Ohio, and D.C. and Tampa. They are harassing us, Stephanie. I don't know what you're going to
do. Yes, thanks for bringing it up. All right.
Well, there you go.
Good
you
luck
can
to
spin,
you.
You can spin, but you can't hide.
Mm-hmm. Looky here, Madonna. See, we don't say stuff like this. We actually give some of our proceeds to sexy liberal causes.
Right.
Madonna, in a Newsweek interview prior to the Super Bowl performance, she was highly dismissive of fan complaints over her high ticket prices. She says, start saving your pennies now. People spend $300 on crazy things all the time, things like handbags. So work all year, scrape the money together, come to my show.
Oh.
Awesome.
She's the Rick Santorum of pop music.
Yeah.
You spend money, screw you.
You don't deserve health care. You have an iPad.
Give me your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fans who purchase tickets to her tour will receive a copy of her new album. Tickets, check this out, John, for her concert at Yankee Stadium. $140 to $185 for field tickets. $360 for floor seats.
Wow, those are Beck prices.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, $500 for a VIP ticket to his
comedy. You know what I can guarantee about our
concert,
our show? Absolutely zero lip-syncing in our show.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I watched her Super Bowl, and you know what? She did a pretty good job. I gave her credit. A lot better than last year's, but I mean, at parts of it, it looked like a gay lip-syncing terrorist squad raided the Caligula wardrobe department. I'm sorry, but there was a lot of lip-syncing going on.
That's John Fugelsang speaks for himself. I lip-sync every show, and that's actually a stunt, Stephanie, that gropes the front two rows. I can't. My mama's old hips can't get up and down off the stage. They don't even know what's happening. It's all smoke and mirrors. Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1, the number one selling digital CD on iTunes and Amazon, now available on regular CD at sexyliberal.com. What better way to say I love you on Valentine's Day? No better way. I don't think so.
No, when you can look at yourself, that's pure love.
Mm-hmm.
It does serve as a mirror.
Oh, speaking of love, John, here's the latest news on my, it's kind of a...
What?
It was a war against my cat allergies.
Oh, well,
I had the biggest air cleaner delivered yesterday. It looks like
like a jet engine?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like there is a jet engine I hope it works. Also,
well,
Tom Hartman is trying to get me to get hookworms.
Hookworms?
Swears that... He said there's an entire chapter. Well, which book? How would I know which book of his?
Threshold,
there's like
or
a thousand.
Yeah.
Threshold.
Yeah.
Yes. Beneficial aspects of hookworm infections, he sends me. Research has demonstrated that people with moderate hookworm infection are half as likely. Exactly. I don't have to get a severe hookworm infection for love. Just moderately are half as likely to experience asthma or hay fever or allergies. The theory is our immune systems evolved under constant assault from a variety of parasites, most of which have to modulate our immune response to succeed. That's they have to regulate down the response that would otherwise attack them. Evolving with a down-regulated immune system means in the absence of those down-regulating parasites, our immune systems often attack our own tissues, leading to asthma, hay fever, other autoimmune.
Whatever.
So give it something else to attack is the idea.
Tom Hartman is pranking me. That's all I'm saying. He's pranking me. He just wants to be able to say that he made me get myself hookworms.
I'm going to get you and Lisa hooked on the new Animal Planet show, My Cat from Hell, because
yes!
I wrote you about this. It's one of the best shows on TV. It's this guy, Jackson Galaxy, who's in a band, and he's not the kind of guy who looks like a cat behavioralist.
No, he doesn't.
But he actually keeps all of his tools in a guitar case, and this guy is like the cat whisperer. It's incredible what he does, and it's addictive.
Good
TV.
Show.
David Bender stayed one night this week. He was there for like 10 minutes. He had to take a Claritin.
Yeah.
It is. It's Grey Gardens meets a TV ward at my house. Fabulous. Love it. Love it.
Without the raccoons.
TV ward.
You don't have raccoons living in your house either, though.
That's next.
Your slow descent into Big and Little Edie.
Katie in Chicago. Katie's going to Sexy Liberal. Hi, Katie.
I am. Good morning, Mom.
Come on in.
I have to tell you, the Brandy lead-in was like calling to me as the official bartending dog walker of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Song about a bartender. In fact, if you're at my bar when that song plays, everyone gets a free shot.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. Shots. Woo. All right, baby, we'll see. Go ahead. We'll see.
John Fugelsang asked who would be there, and I will be there. And also, as he's going to be within driving distance of my city when he's in Madison in May, I will be there as well. Got my tickets already.
Oh, wow. It's a twofer. It's a Sexy Liberal twofer. Fernando in San Antonio went to Austin Sexy Liberal. Hi, Fernando.
How are you? This is the official registered nurse of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Named after an auto song. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
I took my 16-year-old son, so it is appropriate for teenagers.
Well, with bad parents. Teenagers with bad parents.
Yeah, with bad parents.
Sure.
You made the cover of Unfit Father magazine.
Oh, well, see, there you go. But,
yeah.
I mean, how unfit am I when I'm educating my son on the ways of the world by sending him to a Sexy Liberal comedy show?
Nice.
That's nice.
Pretty damn
nice.
Unfit, I'll say.
Nice.
I'm calling Child Protective Services.
Well, he was so excited because he got to meet you and John. And, John, by the way, this is Fernando. I'm friends with your Aunt Lois.
Fred. Oh, yes, my aunt, yes, of course, my Aunt Lois, yes.
Hello,
yes.
Welcome to Austin Community Calendar. All right, Fernando, thank you.
Thank you.
My son was so excited that he got to meet you, all of you guys. And so he is bragging about it at school. A couple of his friends knew who you were. A couple of them were like, who's Stephanie Miller? So he Googled you, and he showed you, and these kids are going, oh, my God, she's hot. They were all excited, and they were also I just absolutely
thank you, because I work with a bunch of men that refer to me as a broken-down battle axe every day, and so I appreciate that the youngins appreciate me,
well,
Fernando.
Yeah, these kids are just filled with hormones. And
they think anything's hot stuff.
Shut up. I love you, Fernando.
We love you more.
All right. All right. Thank you for calling. Fernando. You know what? Once you go down the ABBA rabbit hole, there's no going back. I'm telling you, if you've hit Waterloo, you've gone too far. And then there's no getting back all weekend. Fernando.
So funny.
Just love this song. All right. It was just an excuse. You know why I'm doing this? Now we've gone too far.
Yeah.
Now you've hit Waterloo. All right. I was not just... You know why we did that? You know why I didn't?
I don't know why you did that.
Well, it's like an ear douche to get Dana Loesch out of your ear.
Yeah. If man is the source of your rights, man can control those rights. Which is why there is a battle against religion in the United States today. If liberals can tear apart that source of all rights in the United States, they can effectively control those rights. You know what other countries did that? Nazi Germany.
Nazis.
Mother Russia.
God, she's stupid.
They
she's
did
just
that.
Stupid. I've been so distracted by how...
At least she's pleasant.
Jesus was a liberal.
I've been so distracted by how evil she is that I really haven't focused on how stupid that woman is. You know, the meanness really eclipses the stupidity.
Yes.
There was nothing spiritually correct in that entire sentence.
Right.
And when you have that much hate in your heart and you're talking about faith and God and religion, give me a break. You're a businesswoman trying to sucker people. And, you know, this is how the GOP is the servant of two masters. Wall Street is playing social conservatives for suckers. They've done it for years. And when you vote Republican, the only thing you're doing is giving rich guys a greater tax cut.
Yeah, but...
That's
but,
it.
But when you say it like this, you really mean it.
But contraception is some of the same letters as concentration camp. Huh?
Now Pat Robertson has gone too far, John Fugel saying he is coming after pasty white men like you that look like they belong in Twilight films.
What?
Kathy, she asks us another question. She says, I was never into vampire movies until my friend introduced me to Twilight. Since then, I've watched all the movies. Someone told me that these movies are evil and a part of witchcraft. Am I opening the door to the occult by watching Twilight?
Yes, I think those vampire movies are evil. They're no vampires. The whole thing is demonic, and I just can't. It may give you some kind of a thrill, like you don't want to open any doors because you don't know what kind of a demon's out there. It's just, well, you open the door, you gave me permission.
The Twilight movies are evil, but not because of the occult. They're evil because they're an enemy of cinema.
Yeah. That concludes Right Wing World. All right.
Wow.
Wow, you John, with all these people bringing their 16-year-old sons to sexy liberal shows, we really ought to do a show in
Tel Aviv.
I'd like to see the show, please.
I need some more boys with raging hormones and
really
no taste in women.
Honestly, I'm 18. I'm allowed in.
And now for panel, Gary Glitter. What, did I cross a taste line on this show?
Yes, that's hard to do. And now, a recipe. Chris and Yankton, guys, Steph made shake and bake last night. Lisa and I helped. Oh, stop it. Chris would like to know the recipe. Well, funny you should ask. You get, you know, those Italian breadcrumbs, and you put thyme. Thyme is the special ingredient. Put salt, pepper, thyme, and then you put out, let's
salt,
see.
Salt, pepper, plus thyme equals comedy.
You see, because...
Yes. Okay. You break some eggs and a little bit of milk or whatever.
Hey,
anyway, and then
you gotta break some eggs.
Okay, dip the thing in the egg and then you can roll it in the thing and then you bake it at 400 for an hour.
You know what?
Forget to flip it.
You know what would give you a crispier crust?
What?
Using panko instead of regular Italian breadcrumbs. Do it.
All right. Turn it up. Turn it up for the last 10 minutes. It makes it extra crunchy. Thanks for asking.
Panko. Those are Polish breadcrumbs.
No, they're Japanese breadcrumbs.
Panko.
Hey, can I clear up some confusion? It's break time?
It's break time. But you can clear it up when we get back.
That's what
I'll
we call a tease.
Yeah.
I'll clear it up like Clearasil.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad.
Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie.
This does sound like Up With People's worst single.
With people. I love them. I've always been happy clappy.
Yeah, I used to play with a traveling musical theater group called the Way Too Upbeat Players.
Friday's with sexy liberal John Fugel saying who wants to clear some confusion about something.
Yes, well, we made an announcement earlier in the show that I am going to be bringing my Drama League-nominated solo one-man show, Guilt of Love Story, to Madison, Wisconsin, to the Barrymore Theater. Tickets are on sale for that right now at Barrymore Live. I also mentioned that we are going to bring it to the Neptune Theater in Seattle. That's in April. Those tickets are not on sale yet, and I will be dirtying up Steph's airwaves announcing it as soon as it is.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Thank Pardon you. Me? Yes, please, and thank you. Dan in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to, well, I guess everybody there is probably not old enough to remember the Kennedy elections, but while I was in high school, and the big thing there that the Republicans were putting out was the fact that Kennedy was a Catholic, and the Pope was going to tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm. Dan, we opened the show with that today, that's ironic, that that's what the issue was back then, and now, you know, Republicans apparently want the Vatican to dictate to the president, right?
Well, yeah, it seems to me that Rick Santorum decided to tell everybody he was going to do exactly what the Pope wanted him to do. But the other thing that I don't think a lot of people know is that during the French Revolution, Cardinal Richelieu was taken out of his crypt and beheaded. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in a little bit, because everybody thinks that the revolution was about religion. It sure was. They were all against it.
Yep, there you go. All right. If I find another severed head in the Hollywood Hills, I'm going right to the White House, because clearly...
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
The pro... decapitation.
You know,
people.
And let's also remember that our founding fathers did not intend this to be anything but a secular society,
right.
And that they also didn't intend for women or brown people to ever vote, and only white landowning males could do it. So, you know, the founding fathers, not right about everything.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Rick Perry, we know from the primary he does not speak English. He does speak football, though, now that he's back in Texas.
If it's halftime in America, I'm fearful of what the final score is going to be if we let this president start the second half as a quarterback.
All right. Oh, little dumber boy. I miss yous. All right. Wow, after we were talking about it's a bingo week in marriage equality, you know who could join the cause, John? This reminds me of your bit you do in Sexy Liberal. Mike, the situation Sorrentino slams Jersey Shore housemates over gay implications.
Oh, dear.
What?
Because, well, because you come from Long Island, right?
Yes. Right in the heart of the cologne belt.
Yeah.
The brute belt.
But the situation wants everyone to know the GTL stands for Jim Tan Laundry, nothing else. He has reportedly hit back at housemates Snooki and JWoww after they speculated on his sexuality and hinted he might be gay. With the HuffPost, Mike really ripped both Snooki and JWoww a new one, noting he's concerned the comments could hurt his brand endorsements, which are focused on straight male customers. The source added he's extremely upset.
I can't think of anything I care about less.
Yes. There's that. JWoww even compared Sorrentino to her gay best friend's husband, who was closeted for 27 years. So because of that, I know the signs.
Oh, okay then.
It's not the first time his sexuality has been questioned. Last year, a Jersey Shore star, previously Sorrentino's love interest, said, I think Mike is gay. I think he's gay because of the way he talks and the way he abuses girls. He talks down to women. I honestly feel he's in the closet right now.
Now how you tell is if he's sleeping with other men. That's how, really? That's how you tell if he's gay.
Is that one of the telltale signs?
Uh-huh.
Thanks for
that's
that.
That's the main one. It's either that or that stack of bodybuilding magazines under his bed.
Wow, this is fairly gay. Arnold Schwarzenegger is having surgery on his shoulder in the same hospital as Sylvester Stallone. He even posted a picture of the two tough guys lying in hospital beds side by side.
I heard about that.
With their various action weightlifting injuries.
Yeah. Or maybe it's his femur again.
Oh, the problem is, women weak in legs is what Mick told me.
That's going to happen when you eat lightning and crap thunder. You know what I'm saying? You're going to throw something out at his age.
Eat lightning or crap thunder.
Hey, speaking of straight guys, Jim, here's a job for you. Courtney Cox hasn't had sex since she split with David Arquette.
Well, now.
Can you help? Can you give us just a hand?
Can't.
Where did she say this?
Where did she say this? She hasn't had sex.
I can't imagine that'd be at the top of the list, but I'm glad to throw in my lot.
Sheva in, am I saying that right? Sheva in Los Angeles.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm calling because, you know, you guys are so awesome. I'm a huge fan, and you're so inclusive, you know, all Americans, every race, shape, whatever, size, religion. But I think inadvertently you're leaving some of us out because I'm dying to see the Sexy Liberal show. And the last time I couldn't go for the same reason. Now you just posted the date for Los Angeles in the summer, and each time in the summer you're doing it, it's on Shabbat. So, you know, you're kind of those of us who are observant Jews and love the Sexy Liberals, we have no choice. I can't get to see you. I can't go over there. And
I hope
would it help if I say Shabbat Shalom and Ani Otevet Otach?
I hope you're sitting, Sheva. But let me ask you: Are you not able to go out after sunset on Saturday?
Well, the thing is, Saturday in the summer, it ends really late, so it doesn't even finish. Until,
because the sun goes down really late.
Right.
It doesn't start till 8 o'clock.
I could do it.
Could you move
the date?
Yeah, but you know what? You'll just miss the openers, like, you know, Chris, and it doesn't matter. Just come in time just come in time for John Fugelsang.
Miss, you know, Jim and Rebecca and me.
Yeah.
You know, we don't count.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, you could miss half of my set and have a better time.
No, I might go if I could still make most of the show. What time does it go until?
Usually until about
at least 10.
10,
yeah.
10:30.
Oh, yeah. I still want to go.
Do it. Kamanimotik.
All right. Wow, my husband is Israeli. He'd be very impressed.
Mm. tell him, Ani Otevetotach.
And you know what? Just stay in a hotel right next to the theater, so you don't have to drive, and you're all set.
You know what? The W Hotel is right there.
There, right across
the street.
Oh my God, you guys are good.
Yeah.
You know your Shabbat stuff. I'm impressed.
We just want your money.
We love you, Shabbat. Bye bye. All right.
That's my Johnny Rotten impression.
Yeah.
Thank you. Tony in LA.
Never get the feeling you've been cheated.
Hey, beloved mother.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Dominus Vobiscum Fugelsang. Chris, if I had a wife like Michelle Obama, I would need time to evolve too. So be merciful to Barack. She's the most wonderful thing.
Nope, you're right.
Now, you know what I'm saying?
Because he's so in love with her. He turns me straight when I hear that.
He is using such beautiful, classic civil rights tactics to expose prejudiced people.
Yeah.
It's nonviolent.
That's
it's
right.
An expose. He has roped these dopes.
He is roped to the dopes. We've closed with that. Sexyliberal.com, Sexyliberal on Facebook. John Fugelsang, a pleasure, a delight as always.
I'm going to be in studio in L.A. with you guys next week. I'll see you in person.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.